Here's Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, just kind of fun thing, we have one of our sponsors on with us today, Art Griego, who operates the Griego Flight School out in Santa Monica and sponsors a portion of our show. Art, good to have you on, because I know you're a dad, and Father's Day is coming up. I wanted to talk to you about it. I'm a stepdad.
I understand, Phil.
And so I don't know whether or not I'm going to get any cards or anything on Father's Day, you know?
Well, you don't have to be a Philly stepfather. You can be a father. My daughter, very sadly, has not even spoken to me for the last 5 years.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I know a lot of parents have these falling outs with their kids, but it hurts when Father's Day comes around. And
your daughter and you just had a complete falling out, huh?
Yeah, she's 23. It happened right after she graduated from high school. I think it's one of the situations where I was too controlling, perhaps.
What is your daughter's name again? Is it Deanne?
It's Deanne, yeah.
Well, why doesn't she call you or talk to you?
You know what it is, Phil? It's one of these deals that got blown out of proportion. She makes a big deal out of it with her mother, but I think when you watch a lot of these television shows, she gets egged on by these psychology shows.
Well, what was it?
Well, I wasn't sure until she told her mother. My wife mentioned it, and I couldn't believe it, but it was back when she graduated from high school, and this was back in the summer of 98. And
so she's what, 23 now?
She's just turned 23. And we had been celebrating her graduation, and we'd had some friends over, and I will admit I'd had a lot to drink. I recall I was drinking vodka that day, but it was a wonderful day. And so I remember at some point in the evening I gave her a big hug, and I did something that comes completely naturally to men, especially when you're with a woman that you know, and I put my hand inside of her blouse, and I tried to cop a feel or what have you, and it's a very natural instinct.
But with your daughter?
Hold on for a minute, Phil.
When you say it's a natural instinct, you put your hand inside your own daughter's blouse.
Hold on for a second, Phil, and let me explain it, okay?
Go ahead.
It is a natural instinct that any man has. It's apparently what makes her angry, and that's what she told her mother.
But what I'm saying to you, Art, is this is a very wrong thing.
You know what? You're right. I'm not going to argue with you. It wasn't the greatest expression of my pride. But I happened to be a man. I had been drinking. That particular day, we had purchased two new aircraft that had fuel pump problems. I almost lost a pilot 2 days before that. So you'll excuse me if I was letting off a little bit of steam.
Wait a minute. Touching your daughter, how old was she when this happened?
She was 18. She had turned 18 in May.
And graduated from high school?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question because I feel like I need to ask you. Are you in a restaurant right now?
I'm at the lounge near the hangar.
Did you ever touch your daughter like this before, when she was a child?
Mr. Hendry, I think we're getting away from...
No, I need to know, did you ever touch your daughter like this before, when she was a little girl?
I never would touch my daughter in this manner when she was underage. And I will say this again. When my wife made a federal case out of it, I told her that Cynthia was 18 at the time. Now, that's technically an adult.
Well, that doesn't matter if she's 18 or if she's 20. She's your daughter.
Wait a minute. Okay, then how come that took the steam out of my wife when I said that? And what has this got to do with Father's Day? And a young
The reason why she's not calling you is you tried to grab her breast after her graduation.
Sir, you know something? How long does she want me to hang on a cross for this, then?
She is humiliated. She's angry. She's probably not... You're asking me a question that I would think the answer to is obvious.
I understand that, but I think she's making me hang on the cross for something that came very naturally. I was under a lot of pressure. She was an adult at the time. If you're trying to hook me up with these priests, you're getting, not only are you wrong, Phil, you're getting into dangerous territory.
I'm not hooking you up with any priests. I'm dealing with you one-on-one. Have you ever touched your daughter like that before or since?
I haven't spoken to my daughter in 5 years.
And not before?
I think I answered that question. And you know, here's the thing, Phil, you're getting hooked in too. You're getting hooked.
Well, how am I getting hooked in?
You're making a federal case out of a guy who has a couple of glasses of vodka and tries to get a lousy feel. And
well, it was your daughter, though.
I understand that, and I'm just saying, you know, I had been under a lot of pressure. Let me explain something, Phil. Over the last 5 years, my daughter has been upset about this, right?
upset. It sounds to me like she's angry and humiliated. She doesn't want to talk to you.
All right, she's been upset. You know what happened to me over the last 5 years? I lost $5 million in Qualcomm. $5 million on paper, but I lost $5 million in Qualcomm. And you know what, Phil? I got over it. I picked myself up. I got back in the race. I'm not fretting over it. Look,
what I'm saying to you, Art...
And I'm not hanging on to it. I'm not making anybody hang on a cross for it, which is what my daughter's doing.
All right, hold on. I want to give her number out, and I want to make a point to you.
You know, you don't need to make any point to me. My daughter hasn't called me. She is not a very loving daughter. She wants me to drag the cross up the hill, and she wants to personally nail me to it and even put the spear in my side. Because what? Because I had a little bit to drink. I was letting off some steam. And guys do that. They let off a little bit of steam.
By grabbing their own daughter's breast.
You know something, pal? It was a day that was, you know, it's Father's Day coming up. It's a day that kids honor their fathers.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm saying, I know what I did was wrong, but what I'm saying is, after a while, you let bygones be bygones.
Well,
I think you're a little bit out of your element here, Phil.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Mr. Art Griego,
who is one of your sponsors.
Yes, you are one of my sponsors. And
are you ashamed of that now? You're going to be ashamed of me, too, like everybody else, because here's the situation, Phil.
I am. I'm having a difficult time reconciling all this information you're giving me.
This is not about me.
I think it is.
No, it's not.
Why not?
It's about my daughter not being able to let bygones be bygones and understand that it's a natural thing for a man. Look, you've had a couple of drinks. You're with a girl that's, you know, well endowed.
You're talking about your own daughter here.
I understand that, but I'm also telling you that I have been drinking.
So that excuses it.
No, it does not. But it's not this pervert thing that you want to lay on me.
All right, we live in a world where this kind of inappropriate touching, you know, is criminal.
Whoa, she was not underage. And I was worried about an audit we were undergoing at the hangar, so I went for a lousy feel, and for this she wants me to drag the cross up the hill, personally hammer in the nails, put the spear in my side, and give me vinegar to drink. I thought I raised her better than that, to be strong, to be resolute, to be able to forgive and forget. And you see, this is her and her mother's influence that is causing this problem.
Well, look, if you haven't talked to her, why not tell her that you're sorry for your behavior? Open up a dialogue if you can.
You know, Phil, I did not rape this girl. It wasn't as if she were underage. I caught the lousy feel. What do you want? And plus, she was not honest with me.
Why wasn't she honest with you?
Her mother and I found out that she is now living as an out lesbian up in Seattle with another gal. So what she's talking about, lesbians don't care about sex with men, so a lousy feel-up isn't going to offend them.
Well, if what you say is true, if that's, then what is she pissed at, okay? If lesbians aren't offended by that...
I'll tell you what she's pissed at. She's a lesbian, and these gals hate men. And it doesn't matter to a lesbian if...
Well, I don't know that that's true.
It doesn't matter to a lesbian if you try for the cheap feel, or you simply say, lovely day, isn't it, miss? Either way, they're going to send the steel toe of a caterpillar boot straight up into your goodie bag, and they'll go right on to the woman's bookstore and not look back. So either way, it doesn't matter to me. This has gone on long enough, and it's time she gets back to being a faithful daughter. Now, this is Father's Day coming up, and what I wanted to do is take her out to dinner. I wanted to take her dancing, and we could talk about what's happened over the last 5 years. And we could get a room over at the Portofino so we wouldn't have to drive and have a father and daughter chat.
All right. Art Griego is with us. You know, in a way, I kind of understand when you say you'd had too much to drink. I don't understand hugging your own daughter and then trying to slip your hand inside of her blouse.
So don't judge me until you've walked a mile in my shoes.
I know you were under pressure.
I was under. We'd been audited. I'd almost lost a pilot with this fuel pump problem. I was proud of my daughter. And I was expressing a little affection to her.
That's an inappropriate expression of affection between a daughter and a father.
But it doesn't mean, okay, you know what else is inappropriate? Her not calling me for 5 years. And hanging around with lesbians, Phil, can only do one thing. It only reinforces your hatred of men.
This is a stereotype, man, that you are not going to indulge in, considering the moral perspective you're coming from. You're not allowed to indulge in stereotypes about lesbians or anybody else when you're telling me that on the day of your daughter's graduation, you, and I'm quoting here, copped a lousy feel, end quote. Like it's nothing to be serious about, man. It's a serious thing.
I didn't say it wasn't serious. But what's also serious is her complaining about it, even though she's a lesbian, and it shouldn't bother her.
You know what? You try that with a lesbian. I'm surprised she didn't kill you. Try that with a lesbian, they'll kill you. They'll put a knife in you. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. This man, his daughter hasn't talked to him in 5 years because on her graduation day, he'd had too much to drink and had put his hand inside of her blouse. And you don't understand why it is she's just upset.
I don't get why you people want to make a federal case out of it. You encourage her. You and the media and the lesbian community.
1-800, oh, there it is. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jenny. Go ahead, Jenny.
Hi.
Yes.
Is it Phil? Is his name Phil?
My name is Art Griego, man.
Okay. I was listening to what you were saying, and I really don't think you get what you've done.
All I did was go for the feel.
I know you did.
Yeah.
But if that had been a woman who was not related to you, she would have been upset.
I wouldn't have done it to a woman not related to me.
Oh, my God.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
It means I'm a gentleman.
Did you say
if I did that to a woman unrelated to me? Did you say that?
I did, and I said she would have been upset and
right. Furious.
How do you think your own daughter feels?
And I said that I wouldn't do it to a woman that I wasn't, because I'm a gentleman.
But you did it to your daughter.
I know her.
I'm sorry. I can't say anything else.
Look, I'd be sent to jail if I did it to a stranger.
You'll go to jail.
You could go to jail for doing that to your daughter.
Now, wait a minute. She was 18.
You know what? This must be a setup.
What is this? Some kind of a joke?
Really,
and you're sitting in a bar someplace?
I hear an outfit. Yeah, it sounds like you're drinking.
No, ma'am. I got off work, and I'm having a beer.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know something? You're having a beer. You're copping a feel. You're a man who doesn't seem to be taking boundaries into consideration, you know,
not
the feelings
all.
Of other people. I'm hard-pressed to call you a pervert, Art, but you don't seem to have any boundaries.
Well, okay, so...
And you're making it seem like that it's her fault.
Wait.
That she's not talking
to you. So am I talking to Dr. Ruth and Dr. Lauren now? I just want to be clear.
No, you're not talking to...
Well, you're
no,
coming off... No, no,
no.
You're coming off like you're a couple of psychologists.
Not at all. I'm a mother.
I'm a mother with a daughter. I'm a father with a daughter.
Yeah, whose breast you tried to touch.
And I have a son. I would never touch my son inappropriately. I don't care if he was 18 or 80.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's good for the... You know, one man's poison is another man's pleasure. Any other woman would have just laughed it off, but because my daughter hates men...
I wouldn't have laughed that off.
No, she's a lesbian. She hates men.
Oh, my God.
That's what she
is. Art, I'm sorry. I have to hang up. I can't believe this is a real... This is a setup, right?
Are you saying you're a setup?
Art, hold on for a minute. You say because your daughter's a lesbian, she hates men.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that's
But you're her father.
I am her father. And I love her, and I'm proud of her. And I had too much to drink, and we were happy for her.
Oh, here we go again with the too much to drink.
Oh,
here
we go.
That's no excuse.
All right, so Little Red Riding Hood, you don't drink.
Not at all. It's not about that I don't drink. I'm just saying I wouldn't use alcohol as an excuse to cop a feel on my own child.
You know, so that you guys are getting down on me. Right now I'm looking at this guy Mahoney. You know who he is, don't you?
Yeah, he's the Archbishop of L.A.
Yeah, he's standing up for these priests that like to grab kids. Why don't you guys talk about that?
Well, what do you think you did?
She was of age. She was of age.
Oh, my God.
And
I'm going to hang up now because I'm really getting ill. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I can't talk anymore.
You promised to hang up 5 minutes ago and you didn't do it.
Well, she did now. 1-800-449-8686, the number here. That is Art Griego. I'm going to tell you something. I have to reconsider our business relationship with him if he's a sponsor on this show. We're talking about Father's Day, and his daughter hasn't talked to him in 5 years because 5 years ago on her graduation day, and this is the way he put it, he, quote, copped a feel, end quote. And he doesn't seem to think it's as anywhere near as destructive as her not having any communication with him. On top of that, he said he was drinking. And on top of that, he said because she's an out lesbian, it shouldn't bother her because they hate men anyway. You know the conflicting messages given. It shouldn't bother her, but the reason why it bothers her is because they see. So there's confusion there. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back with Art Griego.
I think
I'm going to do it. Art Griego, owner of Griego's Flight School. Mr. Griego, you talk about trust. You talk about trust between you and your daughter. Your daughter hasn't spoken to you in 5 years, and you want to get a call from her on Father's Day.
I was hoping we'd have dinner.
You mentioned dinner and dancing.
I was hoping we could go out. And we could bury the hatchet. See, you seem to think that what I did broke the trust between myself and my daughter. It didn't do anything of the kind, Phil. I did not snoop in her diary. I didn't listen in on her phone calls. I didn't grill her when she came home late. I tried to get the feel. And I did it in full view. I wasn't trying to hide that from her. It's not like, you know, what some guys will do is when a woman's got her back turned, he'll reach around and trick us. Guys used to do that in college. You know, a woman would have her back turned and you'd reach around and try to get a squeeze and then you'd run away.
I can tell you something, sir. I've been all, you know, 22 and 20. I never, ever knew anybody that did that.
Well, you know, sir, Phil, we all can't be as great as you.
I'm not trying to say great. I think you grew up around an immature bunch of guys. I think you grew up around a bunch of guys with no boundaries. I never knew anybody that did that. Let me go over to Herb here. Herb, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Art Griego.
Yes, sir. This is Art Griego.
Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir. I'm Mark Griego.
Okay, my name is Herb. I want to tell you something.
Herb what?
Huh?
Don't give him your last name, Herb.
I won't give you my last name.
I just wanted to know what the man's last name is.
I'm calling you from Florida.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I have two daughters, grown daughters, who I love dearly, and they love me.
You ever tried to...
The lowest form of humanity that ever lived to try to grab your daughter's breast.
I thought you said you liked your daughters.
I love my daughter.
Then why do you call him the lowest form of humanity?
You are the lowest form of humanity. And you tell me your daughter, you say your daughter's a lesbian?
Yes, sir.
Like you could make her a lesbian.
You know, so you're one of these guys that think guys make lesbians, huh? That they're not born like that?
I think guys like me have the right to tell you because you lost $5 million. You didn't lose enough, for Christ's sake.
I lost $5 million to Qualcomm, and my daughter, who's a lesbian anyway, so she don't want no guy touching her breasts. Okay?
Good luck to your daughter. If that's what she wants to do, let her do it.
I think it's fantastic.
The hell are you got to go and fool around with your daughter
why
for?
Why doesn't she want to come and have drinks with me? Why doesn't she want to come and have drinks?
Why doesn't she want to come and have drinks?
Yes, sir.
She doesn't even want to look at you.
Well, I look it. Did I do it behind her back?
What you did is despicable.
I couldn't agree more, Herb.
And there's no man alive. That would have any use for a guy like you. You run a business. I don't know how the hell you run a business.
Look, I give flying lessons to people who enjoy the great outdoors. And I'll tell you, in 20 years of giving flying lessons, Herb, we've only lost two customers.
I don't care how many customers you lost.
Well, let me tell you something.
If they hear this on the telephone now...
I'm going to tell you something.
You'd lose your whole business, you'd lose your life.
Let me tell you something, Herb. You're trying to tell me... When you hugged your daughters, you never tried to give them the old peekaboo.
Are you kidding?
Oh, come on.
Where the hell do you come off with that kind of
nonsense? I'm just asking you.
Yeah, okay.
We're living in today's day.
What's the language there, Herb?
What a foul man. See, that's the kind of guy.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8666.
What?
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Sick and twisted. Sick and twisted. You need a doctor. You need that. And you could, you ought to get down on your knees that you haven't broken the law by molesting an underage woman of some kind, or touching your daughter, because it is mentally disturbed.
You know, so I'm going to tell you something, Phil. I've taken your insults, and the only reason why I'm staying on the air with you is so that I do have a business that I need to promote. So if you want me to answer these questions, I want to be able to plug my business.
And nobody's saying you can't plug your business.
All right, I want everybody to know that the Griego, Art Griego Flying School, located in the South Elsinore area, is open Monday through Sunday. And we have flying lessons, and we have a ball, and we do skydiving lessons as well on Saturdays. So come on out, our flying school, and we've got a whole new group of instructors. I'm very upset by a lot of the things you've been saying, though.
Well, bad time to give a commercial, sir. 1-800-449-8686.
So, look, at my daughter, we have a couple of friends.
Look, I've been listening to your justifications.
No, we have a couple of friends, Ralph and Roberta. We go to their house. These are very close friends of ours. And Roberta, I'm always grabbing her by the butt, or I got my hand up her top or something, and she never, ever makes a complaint about it. She laughs it off. We go over on Sundays and sit by the pool, and we drink screwdrivers. And that's what we like to do. I go over there with my wife, Allison, and we love to go over and drink screwdrivers, and I'm always grabbing this other gal. Now my daughter turns into a prude, and you want to know why? Because my wife's frigid. My wife is frigid, and she's passed it on to my daughter. And the question is, how do we get the daughter to be unfrigid? Hello?
Uh-huh. You know, I'm stunned by what you just said. It sounded like something out of 1955. Frigid?
Yes. You want me to explain
it? No, you don't have to explain it. It sounds to me like... All right, I'm going to take a phone call here.
Yeah, well, you take a phone call for a while. You try to run my reputation into the ground, one of the top flying instructors in this state.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Deanna. Go ahead, Deanna.
I just don't believe this is the first time he's ever copped a steal.
Oh, well, how nice for you, Deanna. It is.
I just can't. Anyone who would do that to their own daughter, I don't care if she's 50, you don't touch your daughter. You have broken a trust. And you can't even apologize to her and try to get past that. Of course she doesn't want to see you.
I said I'd apologize to her if we could have drinks.
Oh, yeah. Why? So you can fill her up again?
Well, what business is it of yours?
You brought it into everybody's business. You've got your laundry hanging out.
The only thing I got hanging out right now is my reputation, all right? I zipped up long ago. And I came on this program to promote my business and to talk about Father's Day, and I was tricked into this by Mr. Henry.
I didn't trick you into anything, sir. You said that your daughter hadn't...
I was tricked into this by Mr. Henry, who wants something salacious and sensational for his radio program.
You have a problem with it.
I beg your pardon?
You would have hung up if you had a problem with it.
How would you feel?
Won't apologize. You don't think anything you did was
wrong. I did apologize to her. I said I'll apologize to her if we can get a room at the Portofino.
So what do you mean, get a room at the Portofino?
I want to have a father and daughter weekend.
I wouldn't even trust you. You have no idea what kind of bond of trust you've broken. You don't even know.
What bond of trust?
There is. I would have
When a man pays you the compliment of admiring your breasts, that should increase your trust.
Not your daughter, not a daughter and father.
My dad told me to wear better shirts so I didn't show him so much.
You know something, Deanna? Well, he was probably just trying to make you feel better because you weren't all that developed. I will tell you this much. So my daughter gets all this sympathy, and I was going through a bad time in business, and I don't get any.
Oh, boo-hoo. Everybody goes through a bad time in business. Grow up and get past your...
So I don't get any...
ways.
Why do you give my daughter...
You don't treat your daughter like a piece of meat, and you did.
You don't... Why
That's
do you
all
give,
I'm saying.
Why do you give my daughter sympathy, and
you
I don't get any because I had, I had too much to drink?
That's an excuse. You said she was 18. Obviously, you waited till she was 18, which I don't believe. I think you did it years before. I don't think you have any boundaries.
If I got to grow up, why doesn't she have to grow up? And on top of that, she's the lesbian.
No, she has a father who doesn't think he did anything
wrong. And plus, your dad likes to fantasize you were showing him so much. That's why he said cover up.
No, he didn't.
Oh, will you stop and start dragging somebody into it? Don't drag him.
My dad told me women need to have self-respect and just make sure what you wear is conservative. He said, you know, he said you don't want to be out there advertising what you're not. If you're not a girl that's giving it up to everybody, you don't wear clothes like you would. And I never did. And my dad cared about me as a person. He never would have even thought about touching me. And if I ever thought about touching my child, I would rather blow my brains out first.
You know what? Your dad sounds like he was very boring.
No, my dad was not a boring man.
He sounds like a bore.
Why? Because he imparted
some nice things, some values to his daughter. All right, listen, Deanna.
Well, okay, I'm not going to sit here and keep taking abuse from these people. I told you that I'd been drinking too much and that we'd had an audit. It was a lousy feel-up, okay? It's a way of showing affection, like a pat on the butt.
It's a way of showing you're an idiot. You have no morals. That's a way of showing you have no morals.
Okay,
you treated her like a piece of meat.
Admit it. How come football players get to hit each other on the butt?
They don't mean anything sexual by it. And if they do, oh, well, they're consenting adults not related
consenting
to each other.
Consenting adults? I don't know if those guys are consenting to having their butts felt up.
They're not sealing their butts up.
I think it's silly.
They're not feeling it.
Yes, they are. You see these guys in the football field feeling up each other's rear ends.
They're slapping each other on the butt. It's a traditional way of showing encouragement.
You guys are full of all kinds of excuses, but when I come up with the fact that I had too many screwdrivers, all of a sudden...
Blame it on alcohol. What, did you beat your wife, too? Maybe that's why she's frigid.
I hit my wife because I'd had a couple of extra screwdrivers.
Oh, yeah. See, I just guessed that. I must have tuned in too late.
And my wife,
you
Bridget...
You are your cliche.
Yeah. A cliche?
Yeah. Your hero is Andrew Dice Clay. Why don't you take it on the road with him?
Who?
At least that man has an act. It's
Who?
Not that he's an idiot.
Who?
Andrew Dice Clay, but at least he's a comic. He isn't the guy that's actually out there hurting people. And that's the bottom line.
That's the kind of man that beats people up like you.
You try to tell me that you belted your wife?
She talked back to me. What am I supposed to do? Beer. Hey, light touch. Next time, put some booze in it.
All right, thanks a lot. 1-800-449-8686. Go to Beth. Beth, go ahead. Beth.
Are you there?
Yes, Beth, go ahead. You're on the air.
I just want to say that if the booze does that to him, he probably needs to lay off the screwdrivers. That's ridiculous.
That's all I ever drink are screwdrivers.
And you have more respect for a total stranger than you do your own daughter? You said you wouldn't do that to your own daughter? I mean, a total stranger?
I don't know what you mean.
You said...
Can I get a Guinness? Yeah?
You said that you wouldn't grab a total stranger in that manner because you were a gentleman?
I would never grab a man like that, no.
You said a woman. A while back they were talking about you grabbed a stranger in that way?
Yes, ma'am. I thought they were talking about another man.
No.
They were talking about another woman,
and you know that.
No, ma'am. Give me some of those pretzels.
Well, you have more respect and for a stranger than you do your own daughter.
No, ma'am, I don't. It's just that I have more respect for anyone. Look, I have a drinking problem, but no one gives me sympathy.
Well, I sympathize, but you need to get help.
Give me a Rusty Dale.
You need help, but evidently you don't want help and you're not trying to get help.
I'm going to get help as soon as I leave here.
That's good. That's wonderful, and I hope that you do.
In the last half hour, I've heard you order 3 beers, a Guinness, then you changed your mind and now you ordered a Rusty Nail.
How do you know?
Because I can hear you on the phone doing it. Didn't you just ask for some pretzels?
Yes, I did.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah, hold on for a minute, will you?
Okay.
What do you want? Can you hold on for a minute? Give this lady an absolute straight-up dirty with a salad bar on the side. What's your name, honey?
If your daughter...
You don't even look old enough. Go ahead, ma'am.
If your daughter is in a lesbian situation...
Yes, ma'am.
That is, you know...
I think that's
I don't
sick.
Agree with homosexuality either,
I think that's... And that's what drove me... That drove me to want to feel her up, see? So it's her fault.
Okay, but that
Wait a minute.
That is two consenting adults.
Hold on for a minute.
And she did not consent to you feeling of her.
Her
and it's your daughter.
Her homosexuality.
She probably doesn't want to face you because she's embarrassed.
Her homosexuality
I will be embarrassed to
drove me to want to feel her up.
Yeah, that's bull crap, and you know it, and you're using that as an excuse.
She was a homosexual then. You knew that then.
And she needed, and that drove me to it. You want some of those pretzels? Give her some pretzels.
Oh, you are turned on by homosexuality?
Sure, aren't you?
Would you quit ordering the drinks?
You said it was sick, and now you're saying that it turns you on?
Sure. Doesn't it turn you on?
Not at all.
Two chicks,
that is abomination.
Two women. Two women I'm talking about.
Read your Bible. That is an abomination against the Lord.
I understand what the Bible says, but I want to know how you feel about it.
It's sick.
Yeah, but two women.
It's
not
wrong.
Not two guys. Two women is what I'm saying.
Either one.
You like
to
that,
men,
right?
Homosexuality, anyway, is wrong.
But you like
but
it, don't you?
You taking advantage and
like
sexually
words,
abusing your daughter is wrong.
What if you copped a feel on my daughter? Now,
it
I wouldn't
what?
Find...
All right, I'm all done with this crap, okay?
Hold on for a minute. Hey, Phil, have you got a $20 bill?
Well, I don't have any money for you either. Sorry, ma'am.
It's okay. He needs help bad.
Right. 1-800... Give me an absolute straight-up dirty. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Show is back.
The voice of Art Griego in the preceding bit was performed by me. The people calling in believe Art to be a real man who's sitting in a bar ordering rusty nails and hold that Guinness. And he's a flight instructor. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the website for the Phil Henry Show. The official Phil Henry Show website is philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhendrieshow.com. All others are simply listing posts and utilize bootleg material. We use on our audio website, all the audio on our website, I should say, is high quality. It's first generation. It is available in depth. There is literally hours and hours and hours and hours of material. And new material has been added over the last 6 months. And you can get it all for only $6.95. So if you've listened to an hour that you'd like to hear again, or maybe you missed a show, go to our archives, and that'll help you out and what it is you're trying to find. Also, our souvenir shop. Go to our scrapbook and our various links. And we also have a game room. One of the games we have in our game room is, what is it called, the Fun House, our game room? We have a game called Hendroids, which is a bastardized version of Androids. It's kind of cool. We also have Spooge Man, which is our version of Pac-Man. And a couple of other things. So, you know, you can kill time while you're listening to the show, goofing around with that. Now we're going to go to our flashback. This is R.C. Collins, who goes to Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, and his buddy makes fake medals in his garage. R.C. likes to wear them around. He says he's entitled to wear those medals because, like a member of a World Series team that never gets in the lineup, he still gets a ring, and the caller says he's just a spoiled kid.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This kid is nothing but a spoiled brat, and the reason why he's in military school is even now just confirmed it. He hasn't seen his mother in 3 years because they probably threw him out of the house, and they put him in the military schools where possibly he could get some discipline and someone could watch over for him. And believe me, I would bet my year's pay that this kid, once he gets out of college, he'll never see a uniform. The only uniform he'll see is the jailer in the other end that he looking through the bars of the cell.
What are you, Miss Cleo?
Why don't you have some respect?
Well, look, I have it in my life.
He has no right. He just said his father's a millionaire, and daddy probably bails him out every minute of the day. And, you know, we know what type of kid you are. You're nothing but a spoiled, rotten brat. You probably got your Corvette or something, Jaguar parked in the school parking lot, and you think by the girls are going to fall for you that you're wearing the medals. You're not even, you wouldn't know how to shoot a BB gun.
Father has sent for me to be one of the foremen on his line.
You're farming on his line. You're right. Yeah, you're the farming I like. If you had any guts, you'd join the Boy Scouts and see what it's all about.
You Wait know? A second. The Boy Scouts, that's a lower rank than me.
Lower rank? I think not.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
If you had any guts, you'd join the Boy... You join the Boy Scouts to find out what it's all about. Now on to what's really fun. And that, of course, is our NFL crime file. We use this to kill good time in any particular hour where we don't have enough time to go into a full bit. And it's always kicks to see what our pals are doing. But I will tell you this much. Before we get into the NFL crime file, Barrett Robbins gave an interview to ESPN. Barrett Robbins was the guy who could not make the lineup for the Raiders during the Super Bowl last January. Barrett Robbins suffers from bipolar disorder, which is something that is easily treatable with medication, but he has suffered with it for 10 years without getting medication. And even though this man was bipolar with no medication, he was still able to elevate himself to a very high level in his profession. He's an all-pro center, and his team made it to the Super Bowl. So, I don't know, just for what it's worth, I don't want you to think that I'm totally cynical when it comes to these guys. Some of them really deserve a little bit of admiration. The fact that he didn't make the team does not reflect on his character. It reflected on a disease that the man has, and now he is getting medication for it. And I can only bet that once he does get medicated and starts the season, he's going to be one hell of a football player. Now, that's the only bit of heart and sincerity you're going to get out of today's show. On with the NFL Crime Files. Seahawk tight end Jeremy Stevens will serve 5 days in a King County jail and perform 40 hours of community service for violation of his court-enforced probation, according to a Seattle Municipal Court judge ordering this morning. Ha! Monetarily, the Bucks have options with Michael Pittman, who is in legal limbo after his May 31st arrest. Phoenix police said the running back rammed his Hummer into his wife's Mercedes, in which she, the couple's 2-year-old son, and a babysitter were riding. Pittman has been charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault, a Class 3 dangerous felony. According to Pittman's contract, the Bucks would take a $1.4 million cap hit if they cut him. Because it's after June 1st, that total would be split. Who cares? By the way, Mr. Pittman's wife, Melissa Pittman, the wife of the running back, has retained a Tampa-based divorce lawyer. I would imagine so, after she got her Mercedes rammed with a Hummer. Attorney Ed Brennan would not go into details about Melissa Pittman's plans, but said a letter was sent to the Bucks on Thursday expressing his client's willingness to meet with team officials. And, of course, the Bengals are still being sued by that Hamilton County commissioner because they stink. And we really want to get updates on that. And when we do, you'll be the first to get them. Because that is a beautiful lawsuit. It's a $200 million lawsuit filed by a member of the county commission in Cincinnati against the Cincinnati Bengals because they have unfairly... Basically, they are not providing a product that can return a profit. It's a beautiful thing, and it may set a precedent. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Start the show this hour, I should say, with a lesson that I've been providing over the last couple of days. I just think that people need this. See, when it comes to the Middle East, nobody knows anything. You know, the stuff going on in the Middle East, most Americans are walking around blind. Walking around, they couldn't find it with both hands. They don't know what anybody's talking about. All they know is raghead this, Jew that, 9/11 this, Saddam that. They don't know the history. They don't know what's really happening. They buy a lot of this pitch from the Palestinian Authority about the long-suffering Palestinian people. Well, I'm about to give you just a short lesson, as I did yesterday, on the nature of the Arab governments down there. Now, you probably thought we defeated the fascists in World War II. Au contraire. Nazism has actually permutated. It is mutated, kind of like a virus, and has settled in the Arab countries, in the Arab governments. Those are as fascistic, as anti-Semitic, and as Nazified as any government in the history of the world. Now, first of all, Jews have been in Palestine and in the Middle East since, for thousands of years, thousands. It was the Arabs Not the other way around. The Arabs that attacked and drove Jews out of such countries as Saudi Arabia. There were Jews in Saudi Arabia before there was Islam. Did you ever stop to think, hey, you know, Islam started in like 600 AD. What was down there before Islam? Jews. Some whirling dervish cats. A couple of camel lovers. They had the National Association for Man Camel Love Association, NAMCLA. And that was it. Speaking of that, just as an aside, hey, Fox, Fox TV, the Fox News Channel, what is it with you guys with NAMBLA this and child sex? Are you guys so perverted that it's become just a 24-hour obsession? Every time I turn on the guy with the big forehead, he's got this NAMBLA thing going on. What a sick, twisted, leering pervert. You better have that guy checked, and I ain't kidding, and I mean physically as well as mentally. You know the guy with the big forward and the big forehead and the red veins popping out because he just can't stand the thought of men and boys having sex? Well, then don't talk about it so much. All right, moving on. You want to know what was in Iraq before there were Muslims? Jews. What do you think was in Jordan before there were Muslims? Jews. You got to be so uneducated, you have got to be so completely devoid of any historical tuition whatsoever not to understand this. In other words, you have to be at the mercy of the Arab propaganda machine. In other words, you have to be poor and dumb and Palestinian not to get what I'm saying. You have to be a poor, dumb Palestinian kid who's being taught all the wrong stuff, who's being taught out of history books where Israel doesn't exist, and he's willing to believe everything because, after all, the Jews are horrible and Hitler's a great guy. Which brings me to my next point. Adolf Hitler has long been admired by the Arab countries. Now, when I say that, I say the Arab leadership. As a matter of fact, when it comes to Palestine, the Palestinians back in the 40s had a guy, he was their leader, and he's called the Mufti. Now, I ain't kidding you. That's the name of like a king. And the Grand Mufti for the Palestinians was a guy by the name of Haj Amin al-Husseini. This guy was in love with Adolf Hitler, loved him, and went to meet with him in 1941. And Hitler gladly met him, and they sat and they talked about these Jews and what they were going to do to the Jews when they got their hands on them, right? And Mufti brought this back to the Arab lands and began to disseminate this to the Palestinian people and on, just like I was telling the other day, until Hitler became just is a hero in the Middle East, Adolf Hitler. The initial persecution of Jews, actually, if you want to talk about it, wasn't so much at the hands of the Egyptians as it was at the hands of the Arabs, who drove Jews out of village after village, drove them to the primarily Jewish portion of Palestine, which is the coast along the Mediterranean, which is where today Israel is. So you don't know any of this stuff. All you know is, oh, these big Jewish tanks and those poor rock-throwing Palestinians. You ever ask yourself why Israel is in the West Bank? Do you know why they're there? Because they were attacked in 1967 by Jordan, and that piece of country used to be a part of Jordan, and Israel, in driving the Jordanians away from their border, took over that land. Now, you may call that an occupation. I call that a buffer zone, my man. When you got a hostile enemy on your border, you try to get a little breathing space going on. And you want to call that an occupation? Well, then maybe you shouldn't be attacking them so often. What do you think about that? That's kind of a new twist on things, huh? I got a great idea. Don't want to get your ass kicked? Don't pick a fight. Saudi Arabia, get a load of this. You're going to love this. You're going to love it. Yeah, seriously. Saudi Arabia, which takes out ads on American television about what a bunch of sweethearts they are. And they have that little, that four-eyed guy, their ambassador. You know, that guy with the pencil-neck geek that comes on the Saturday morning shows and goes, well, we're trying our best, but, you know, I've got to go. I got a DVD player I got to pick up. What do you want from me? Saudi Arabia does not allow Jews in their country. So Saudi Arabia, like, and I've long said that they're nothing but a second-rate fascist power anyway. They're not even a power. They're a second-rate fascist camel stop. They're a second-rate fascist pony express stop is what they are. They don't allow Jews in their country. Why? Because they hate Jews. Why? Because they're Nazis. That's why. You're not allowed in the country if you're a Jew, if you carry a Jewish passport. So a member of the Netherlands Diplomatic Corps was attempting to travel to Saudi Arabia with a journalist from one of the newspapers in the Netherlands. This journalist happened to be Jewish. He could not get a credential. He could not get a journalist credential. The government of Saudi Arabia informs him they will not issue an entry visa for the Netherlands journalist. And let me see it. No Jewish journalist will be allowed into Saudi Arabia. These are the pieces of garbage that Bush is trying to kiss up to? Now, I understand a guy's got to, you know, one hand washes the other, and a guy's got to do what a guy's got to do. I get it. I get it about business. I realize that sometimes you got to swim in the dirty water because, you know, that's where the business is. I just hope nobody forgets, okay, that they're an enemy state. Saudi Arabia is an enemy state. And we're pumping a lot of oil out of the ground over there, man, because, you know, there's a lot of juice we get from those guys. And our economy, our country, our the way we do business, the way we conduct our lives relies on energy. And unfortunately, a lot of it comes from Saudi Arabia. We've got to get our act together. We've got to get our heads out of our rear ends and figure out how to, A, either neutralize that country and take their freaking oil from them. And you know what? I don't care. Or B, get off that stuff once and for all and have nothing more to do with these disgusting perverts in Saudi Arabia. The only time I ever want to see them is getting on a ride at Disney World. And even then, it kind of makes me, you know, just a little bit of just kind of just a little bit of acid dribble comes up from my stomach. Just me. Other than that, I don't want to see them, look at them, smell them, nothing. And Jordan doesn't really exclude Jews. There just aren't any there. They were all driven out and murdered down through the years. Pogroms, pillagings, etc. You guys don't get the real story on the Middle East because the Arab propaganda machine learned its methods from the Nazis, which is essentially tell a big enough lie often enough and people will believe it. That was the philosophy of Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister. Tell a big enough lie often enough, people will believe it. So people today think that the Middle East is somehow a place that the Jewish people have intruded upon, have dropped into the middle of, and are a contagion. The fact of the matter is that the Jews have been there longer than Muslims, that they were in much more places than they are today, but were driven out by the racist Arabs that live there and have been pushed essentially up against the Mediterranean Sea by these Nazified Arab states. Now, that's the truth. If you don't believe me, look into it. Because you ain't going to get it from the Arabs, man. They ain't going to lay it on you. They're still teaching their kids out of history books that doesn't show a map of Israel. This is the entity that Israel is trying to negotiate with. It's futile. It's impossible. It's futile. They'll never be able to do it. They might as well just arm every man, woman, and child, build the wall, and continue the fight. Because they can't negotiate with that dumbass, that Abbas, and the rest of those screwballs. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen in our lifetime. Kiss it off and forget it. There will be no peace in the Middle East. Too many pissed off people. Not only the Palestinians pissed, the suicide bombers, that's created a whole nation of pissed off people in Israel. There will be no peace treaty between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Mark my words. Mark my words. There will be a civil war in Palestine before there is peace with the Israelis. That's what's going to happen. That'll happen, a civil war between the extremists of Hezbollah and Hamas and the people who are trying to move their country forward. All right, that's a look at sports. Our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Lloyd Bonafide coming up on our program to talk about summer driving habits and people who are breaking the law by not getting out of that left lane. It's a passing lane. Also, Art Griego will be on with a Father's Day problem. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Woody Allen's on TV, and he's doing a commercial encouraging travel to France. Woody Allen. And if you remember, Woody Allen's a guy that did a movie called Annie Hall in 1977. Very funny flick. Then he went and he made a couple of more very funny movies. And lately he ain't made too many funny movies. But that's fine because everybody's entitled to their successes and their failures. Nonetheless, Woody is one of these insular New Yorkers. He believes himself part of the bigger cosmopolitan scene, and he isn't comfortable outside of the big city. It's a little nerve-wracking there being out in the sticks, and he only knows New York, and then there's the rest of the country, and all of those cliches, right? Well, naturally, being a big-time cosmopolitan New Yorker, he also believes in the perceived cultural superiority of France, and, you know, wants to hook himself up with that. So he's making these pro-French tourism videos. And he even went so far as to say something in the commercial which said that he never felt a bit of anti-Semitism in France. Look, I don't want to keep harping on this, but apparently there's nothing going on. This is the only news that I have. Where's all the news? Santa Janice, where's the news? What are people talking about out there? You know what I'm saying? Monkeypox? That's what they're talking about, huh? No, they're not. Hey, Chris, talking to you. Okay, you hear what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Okay. I got 50 pounds of news here, and I got nothing in this stack of news that is of the least bit of interest to any human being. I got stories here about MIDI computers. I got stories here about Miami targets eateries selling drugs. It's summertime. Let me tell you what people are into. Vacations, kids, you know, partying, you know, movies. This kind of thing, man. Monkeypox ain't any news that anybody is talking about. I'll tell you what. Monkeypox is only news because you saw it on a website someplace. So you're assuming that that's news. It isn't. There isn't a human being on the planet Earth outside of a couple of talk show hosts and three guys at the CDC that are talking about monkeypox. Anyway, Woody Allen is talking about going to France. He's doing commercials promoting France. He praises France in the video. He talks about it's a fantastic place to go on vacation. This guy who said he went over there never felt any anti-Semitism. I mean, you know, I've said it before. What are you, crazy? They were jamming Jews into boxcars over there, man, like record-breaking clips. Now, the French have actually been feeling the pinch. People have not gone there because there was a war on, for starters, and they felt the pinch about this perceived and quite frankly true anti-American stance that the French were taking. So now they're getting Woody Allen on board. And Woody Allen, this guy's about as popular in the United States as Jerry Lewis is right now, which ain't too popular. In other words, France, let me clue you in on something. People are like watching Jim Carrey movies. Why don't you get him to do the pro-French spots? Long popular in France, he appears in a promotional video aimed at luring tourists back to the land of champagne now that the war in Iraq is officially over. I don't want to have to refer to my French fried potatoes as freedom fries, and I don't want to have to freedom kiss my wife, and a lot of other really stale stuff like that. Joining Allen are other Francophiles, including jazz musician Wynton Marsalis, Paris Review magazine editor George Plimpton, and the star chef Daniel Blow. All appearing free of charge. Also praising France in the video is Chris Jensen, who visited the country with fellow New York City firefighters after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack at the expense of French tourism officials. The video promoting France was shown to media representatives in 14 U.S. cities in hopes of spreading the word that Americans are welcome to welcome in France, their visits eased by special... Well, no, you're not, man. You're treated just like crap in France today. Like, you're treated about as well in France as Californians are treated in Oregon. You're just as likely to get your tires popped and the air let out of your head or whatever the hell it is that they're doing in France as anywhere else. Believe me, man, I've been there. They're not friendly people. They're not particularly nice people. They're not particularly friendly people. They have a much, much overinflated sense of the importance of their country. They think Paris is way more exciting than it is. I hate to break the news. I live in Los Angeles, and there's about 6 million more things to do here than there is in France. And I don't care how many museums they got. Oh, my God. If you're an art lover, France is... Yeah, I'm an art lover. And what about the restaurants? I got just as many good restaurants here. And what do you mean, what about the restaurants? French food is horrible. French food is horrible. So what are you talking about the restaurants? The only good restaurant I went to in Paris was an Italian restaurant. Okay? And as far as art goes, I can go down to the LA County Museum of Art, and I can see a Rothko exhibit, I can see it a Warhol exhibit if I want to, I can see the Marc Chagall exhibits if I want to. I mean, what are you talking about? I can see American artists. Americans. See, if you go to France and you go into their art gallery, you're looking at Spanish, you're looking at English, you don't see any French artists. They got the Picasso Museum in Paris. Sorry, that guy's from Spain. So I can go down to an American museum and I can see American artists if I want to, and other artists as well, right? So I don't need to do that. All right, so that. So the restaurants and the art, and now what else you got? The charming streets? Yeah, those are pretty cool, but hey, I can go to Old Town Pasadena, walk down a couple of alleys there. I've seen Paris. I walked down a couple of alleys. That alley near Johnny Rockets in Old Town Pasadena looks just like Paris. And then I'm done. And I, you know, then I've had the European experience, and I haven't gone 10 miles away from my house. Plus, we now have Paris and Vegas, so what do I need your rotten country for? Nice try, Woody. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You can get our CDs there. You can get our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs for the year 2002 on back to 97. All of the money we raised from the sale of the Best of CDs goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And if you want to order any of those on the telephone, you go 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
They got a fat-friendly hotel. Now, here it is. It's in Mexico. In a world enthralled by thin, perhaps no place is more slanted towards the slender or more daunting for the double chin than the beach. So guess what they're doing? They got a hotel that if you're a big fat pig, you can go there, lay on the beach, and you won't feel bad about it? The resort, which formally opens June 15th, targets people afraid to go out on the sand with a few extra pounds or a few extra dozens of pounds. No more enduring cruel jokes on the beach or wisecracks from the staff. Whoever, at any hotel that you've ever been to, made a wisecrack about how fat you were? Anybody? Guess what happens? They make a crack about how fat you are, man. There goes the tip, right? See, if I go to a hotel, I don't want to have to sit and look at fat people waddling down the beach. Even though I'm fat, I want to take a look at the people that are good looking, okay? I ain't waddling down the beach. I'm going to lay on my fat ass underneath one of those umbrellas so they don't have to see me. Another good idea that wasn't such a good idea. We've hired personnel of all sizes and especially trained our slim staff, said Urian Klink. That's about the sound his business is going to make when it goes over, too. Klink. There are a lot of people who put on vacations or who put off vacations saying, I'll buy that bikini when I lose 15 pounds. Let me tell you something. We're going on vacation in a week. I'm taking the kids and my wife. We're going to Florida, and I haven't lost a pound. I could care less. I'm going to be I'm going to be down there fat, laying by the pool. Somebody wants to say something about it? Boy, I'd love it. I'd love to hear it. You're kidding me, right? I better not go on vacation. Why is that? Well, somebody at the hotel that I'm staying at may make a crack. Is that right? You know how many hotels there are? Hey, speaking of hotels and tips, Brass was on our show the other day, and he says it's standard, 20% tip, and he always reminds his customers, 20% tip. If you don't, he'll follow you to the parking lot. Some people don't like that.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This guy's just insane. First of all, it's a gratuity. It's not a fee. It's a gratuity. It's an offering.
It's a tip.
No, no, it's not a tip. It's a gratuity. It's a gracious measure by... You know, I mean, my sister's been in the serving industry for 3 years, and she never had to fight to get her 20%. What really your problem is that you go through life as a victim. And it can't possibly be that you don't do your job well enough. It can't possibly be that you have an attitude problem. The deal here is obviously it's because you're Hispanic and everyone hates you.
Hey.
You're a victim, Chief. I mean, you got to wake up. Get a new job.
Okay.
A new life.
Are you Hispanic, sir? No, you are not.
No.
How do you know?
I'm Jewish, and I know people who make the same exact complaint.
Hey,
you walk through life as a victim. It can't possibly be that you're not good at your job. It must be that the world is stacked against you.
Okay. You go to a restaurant, I'll tell you right now, they don't wash their hands.
What does that got to do with anything? First of all, people do wash their hands.
Second of all,
your argument is so thin, now you're coming up with these lame excuses like you should get 20 or 30% because you wash your hands. How about I just show up to the restaurant and cook my own meal, and we don't even need you?
No, I am called a food server, sir. There's a chef.
You're not a food server. You're a victim. You're a guy who wants a free ride.
You're
a guy who wants 20% for picking up a plate and throwing it on a table. A monkey could do it.
No, if a monkey could do it.
That's the reason why people don't like you. People don't like you because you're a jackass.
You know something? If a monkey could do it, they would have him do it, right? And number two, you compare me to a monkey. That proves the racism that's in your voice and in your heart. So if you don't believe...
How does calling you a monkey make me racist?
Three guesses and the first two don't count.
Wait. Your original argument was that you pick lettuce. Now, are you a monkey? Because they don't eat lettuce.
You know, I'm a professional. I know there's different forks for different salads and different steaks. All of that.
What does that make you a genius? I mean, my God, it's your job. You're supposed to know the fork.
I hope you remember the right fork.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, I tip 20%. I had a guy follow me out to a parking lot once. I was working at a radio station. That's why I put that into that brass bit. I was working at a radio station in Orlando, Florida, and we got one of these gift certificates. You know, when you're 20 years old, you're 19 years old, you're the DJ, you're the overnight DJ. And, hey, Phil, here's a gift certificate. Go knock yourself out, kid. Go ahead. Yeah, it's good for two couples. Go ahead. Well, it's one of our sponsors.
Gee, thanks, Mr. General Manager.
Okay, no problem, kid. God, take the girlfriend. You know, the one with the nice ass. The one that you're going out with. Yeah, thanks, sir. So I took my girlfriend and another guy and his girlfriend on a double date to this restaurant that gave us this gift certificate. And I go into this joint. It's in a strip mall, which is class all the way. And don't you love to go to restaurants in strip malls? Don't you love to pull up to a restaurant in a strip mall? And I know they work hard, and I know they want to make it very pleasant. I got to tell you guys something who run restaurants. Don't go into the business with one strike on you already, all right? Don't you want to go into this thing kind of, you know, launching from an even platform? You don't want to go in with one foot in the crap already. Don't put your restaurant in a strip mall. Buy a building under a tree, something unique, something nice. So we go to this restaurant in the strip mall, although my favorite sushi bar is in the strip mall, so forget everything that I just said. And I go in there, and here I am, I'm 20, and my buddy, and we're all kids. So we go in, so naturally, we're not to be taken seriously. And on top of that, do I have cash? No, I've got this gift certificate. And this guy comes to the table to take our order. His tie is off because he was supposed to be off already, and we came in late, you know, 10:30 for dinner, and he was supposed to be off his shift, and we're like four punk kids, so what does he care? And the tie's hanging off, and the food was lousy, just lousy, lousy. And the service was sloppy, so I gave this guy the gift certificate. Of course, he looks at that, and now he really knows that we're just nothing but slobs. Gift certificate. Oh, great. These four punk kids. And I had to stay another half hour, 45 minutes and serve these people? They're not even as old as me, right? I got up and I didn't leave a tip. This guy ran out of the restaurant. Hey! Did you guys come in here stiff me? Is that it? And I didn't know what he meant by stiff. You know, I was still a little new to the world. I said, what do you mean stiff you? Did you come in here, you don't drop a tip on the table? I said, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I didn't tip you, man. Yeah, how come? I said, because the service sucked. Of course, I probably used a milder word. Of so the service was not what I wanted it to be. Yeah, and then he gave me, you know, some sort of an obscenity, at which point I had to kick his ass. But it happens, man. And my best friend was raised, his mother was a waitress. Five kids she raised on a waitress's earnings and tips. She raised five kids on a waitress's money, hourly money and tips. So I got all the respect in the world for them. And I tip big time. I tip 20%. And I'll tell you, there's never an occasion when I don't tip 20%. And there's a lot of reasons why your service might be bad. One of them happens to be she's the only one on duty that morning because somebody called in sick or someone's hung over or whatever, and maybe the chef has got his head parked or whatever. But occasionally, man, when the service blows, brother, they get 1 cent. Otherwise, it's a stunt right out of Jackass. You know, that's me flying out the door on the gas that their food gave me. I drop a penny and a glass of water. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, sir.
Hey, are you kidding me? You really kicked an ice cream cup out of a kid's hand?
Let me ask you something, sir. I'm on a diet, and this kid has the gall to eat ice cream. What's that about?
How does he know you're on a diet? He's a kid.
Well, what's he doing eating ice? Why is he eating ice cream outdoors?
Everybody eats ice cream outdoors.
Not everybody. Some people
eat.
What are you talking about?
I can understand your point about the secondhand smoke because if I smoke around you,
yes, sir.
My secondhand smoke is going to affect your health.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but when I'm eating outdoors, food is not flying off of my plate and landing in your mouth.
No, it's not.
No.
Well, what is happening is the secondary subconscious suggestion is being sent, eat, eat, food, food. That's dangerous. See, this kid looked right at me and dipped his big tongue into the cup. Tell me that's not on purpose.
No, that's not the intent of what a child would have.
And the other thing, Dave, that you have to remember, this kid was eating high-fat Carnation ice cream. Has he ever heard of low-fat sherbet? No, I guess not. No, what he's going to do is he's going to eat high-fat ice cream. If he was eating a low-fat sherbet, maybe I would have looked the other way.
Well, you know,
but the gall of this kid eating a high-fat Carnation vanilla ice cream, I had no choice but to just send that thing flying into Frontierland, which is what I did. I kicked it right through the gate of Frontierland. And
well, sir, I'm surprised. You said his father came over?
Well, yes. Yeah.
I'm surprised that father didn't belt you for kicking his kid's ice cream.
Yeah, I agree.
What are you guys talking about?
What are we talking about?
He's lucky that wooden spoon didn't go up his rear end.
Well, wait a second. You're not going to kick the ice cream. Mr. Dozier, I understand you have a health condition, but you can't go up and tell people they're not allowed to eat in the park. People eat their lunch in the park all the time.
Well, it's going to stop.
Well, just like this is America and you have a free, you know, you have the right to your opinion. This kid has the right to eat high-fat ice cream if he wants to.
Not in front of me, he doesn't, though, sir. That's what I'm saying. As I said before, people don't have the right to endanger
my
health.
Yeah, until there's a law passed, like the secondhand smoke, the kid can eat ice cream anywhere he wants to.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, get a law passed.
Well, then you can't be kicking the ice cream out of his mouth.
Exactly.
I have my health to consider. Look, it may not be against the law to be smoking out in certain areas, but if the smoke wafts into your face, it's still endangering your health.
Absolutely.
I saw this guy pulls out a cheese sandwich, and it's almost like he's mocking me. He goes, ah, his big mouth, and he goes to put the cheese right in his mouth. Big, thick slab of sharp cheddar cheese. Guess what?
You kicked it out of his mouth.
You got that right.
Okay, well, where do you draw the line at then? Car exhaust is bad for you. You going to take cars off the road?
Well, sir, if someone has an issue with that, I think that's the fight they should fight. Right now, I'm trying to fight for everybody who's on a diet, and all I'm asking Burger King and McDonald's to do is take their signs down. That's all.
Now, well, I'm on a diet, but I'm not asking for people to stop eating from it because it's my choice whether or not I eat the food or not.
Okay, well, good luck when you hit 300 pounds.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I think that's great. That's a great idea there, Vernon. And, you know, Vernon used to be a place kicker at Portland State, so when he says he kicked the slab of cheese out of that guy's mouth, he's talking soccer style, and he's talking 56 yards. He's approaching Tom Dempsey's record with that cheese. Hey, speaking of sports, here is baseball as it exists today. Here it is. You ready? You ready? Because we're in the middle of summer, baby. Baseball is the national pastime, or so they used to call it. As you and I both know, of course, it's long since passed into the ashes, man, that national pastime thing. But they play baseball. Now, here is the state of baseball today. You're going to dig this. Here's this dull sport called baseball. Dull as the day is long, right? And the one piece of juice that they can do to get some kicks going in it, the one little piece of action that they can get going to maybe get the long ball going, which is the corked bat, it's against the law. They got Sammy Sosa up on charges because he corked a bat. The one thing that maybe they can maybe knock a couple of apples out of the ballpark, you know, take a guy downtown a little bit more than maybe a couple times, every blue moon. The guy's got a corked bat that might be able to make the ball sail a little further. Oh, no, we can't have that. We can't make this sport exciting. No. Look, you know, didn't they introduce something called the live ball in the 1919, 1850, or whatever the hell baseball, what was it, 1801? Didn't Aaron Burr, didn't he introduce the live ball just after he got shot? You know why? Because you know what a live ball is, by the way? A live ball is a tightly wound ball. It's got a rubber center, and it carries further, as opposed to the old dead ball, which was a looser ball, and it didn't carry as far. The number one home run hitter before 1920, the guy would bang out, he'd get maybe 21 dingers. I mean, that was big-time baseball back then, 21 home runs in a season. Guy now is knocking them out to the tune of 70 a year. So why the hell can't a guy cork his bat so we can get some fun going in this stupid sport? Hey, Selig. Now, let me get this right, man. You don't want the guy corking his bat. I know it's against the precious rules of baseball. I understand. But why did that ever stand in anybody's way, man? There's people talking about putting Rose in the Hall of Fame, and he's a gambler. He's a cheating gambler. I saw Pete Rose across the street over here. What a happy-looking man he is. He was over here at Sicily. And I went in, I actually introduced myself because I figured I was at the media. And I guess he hates reporters, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm just telling the countenance and demeanor of the man is just so sourpuss. He walks around with a perpetual, like he's got a roll of quarters shoved up his rear end. He's just kind of, he's walking around with this discomfort on his face. You know, I know the precious rules of baseball. Everything's just ever so traditional and marvelous. You don't want to cork a bat, but I just think that if I were Selig, I'd give Sosa a $1 million bonus for that. Thank you. Thank God some guy tried to sneak something into the game to make it more exciting. Sammy Sosa fired from baseball for trying to actually make it fun. I know it's against the rules, so what? You could overlook it. What's this, bits of cork? I don't know. Something fell out of my pocket. Cork bat is going to make the ball go further. Well, that's going on in the world of baseball. We have other things that are happening around the world, which is, of course, vacation time. And I'm taking the family to Florida. Now, if you've never known joy, try taking four kids across the country. It's great. Because you do everything, and they don't do anything. They stand around playing mumbly peg. And what's that game where the string goes between your fingers? What's it called, Chris? Cats in the Cradle. My kids stand around in airports playing Cats in the Cradle while I'm hauling 18,000 tons of bags. Clueless, man. I could get on the plane, fly home, get in the cab, get to my house, and be cooking myself a steak, and my kids would still be standing in the airport playing Cats in the Cradle 8 hours later. And then somebody goes, gee, I wonder, is our plane ready yet? So this coming Friday, we're going to take the kids on vacation. And we figured it out. Janice figured out, actually, if you think about it, there's four distinct lines that you have to stand in. There's four lines you have to stand in now. Before you get your ticket, go over to the gate, boom. You got to line up to check in. Then you got to line up to x-ray the luggage that's going to be checked. You never gotten that one?
Yes, sir. Your ticket has.
Jesus.
Yes, sir. Could you go over there to the thing? I got to go over to.
Line up to get the security check. The security check lineup. Then line up to get on board. And there's one more. God help you if you forgot to take your watch off. God help you, because it'll go, and you go, oh, no, man, no. It's just the watch, man. I'm sorry. Get over here. Take your shoes off. No! No, you don't need to do this. The watch, man. Go over. Take off your shoes. Drop your pants. And he's slipping on a rubber glove, and he's got an octologist tube, and it's really going to be scary. And you knew it's just the watch. It's the watch, man. No, no. Come on. Guy hijacked an airplane, man. Did you hear about it? With a toothbrush handle? No, no, no. I can't take chances. No, I can dig it. I understand. I know what. But, okay. Take off your shoes. What kind of shoes are these? I don't know. All right. They got the lid. They got the thing on the sole. All right. Drop your pants. All right. Spread your cheeks. All right. Okay. Now, let me look up your nose. Okay. Now, stand there with your feet up in the air and your hands out straight and look stupid for about 30 seconds, and then I'll let you go. Just stand there. Okay. All right, go ahead. Now you can go. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I wanted to point out to your listeners and to yourself that the California Traffic Code and the United States Vehicle Code calls for the following. The left lane is for passing only.
On the freeway?
On the freeways, yes. It's not for cruising. You are expected to be at least as fast as the cars behind you. Now, that's the California Vehicle Code. And what you see time and time and again are people using the left lane as a cruising lane. And, of course, the police are never around to ticket them. Now, usually, I can handle that, but we had an incident last year where a member of our club, and I'm a Korean War veteran, sir.
All right.
And we have 200 members in a caravan club, and one of our members was blocked by trying to go ahead in the left lane by this guy doing 55 in the left lane. And this is a guy who is was in one of these Escalades with the kids in the backyard, and which, you know, these yuppies with the 3.2 kids.
Okay. So what are you saying? The guy in the Escalade was in the fast lane blocking this man's ability to get down the freeway.
Yes, sir. And my friend was trying to get to one of the KOA sites in Bakersfield before they closed, because if you can't get there by sundown in some of these sites, you're not allowed in.
All right. Well, it's frustrating having to travel behind these people, but you are in a large recreational vehicle, and normally you don't see a vehicle like that in the far left lane, right? And so what are you saying? You're getting blocked in the fast lane?
Well, you know, that's really a matter of who's done. I don't care what other people think. I'm a Korean War veteran, and we go to Oregon every summer to visit our daughter and our grandson. And I'll give you an example. Last summer was my grandson's birthday, and it was my grandson's sixth birthday, which is school age, and we wanted to get up there and share on this special day.
All right, sir.
And we were making good time until all of a sudden, you know, as I was saying, this woman in a Suburban with the screaming, you know, kids in the back and what have you, and the kids did the one thing that I am not at all, boy, when I think about it, they stuck their tongue out at me, and this was just outside Reading. And this woman in the Suburban decides she's going to settle in front of me going 70 or whatever it was she was doing in the fast lane. And I'm making 80, 85.
All right. So this gal...
Well, let me finish.
No, I want to just get the story. The woman is in a Suburban going 70 in the fast lane.
Yes, and that's a passing lane only. That is not for cruising.
All right.
Now I got to slow up and take it off of cruise control because this, you know, woman with these brats that are sticking their tongue out at me and everything else, and she wants the whole world to slow down and so everyone can drive by, I guess, and say, aren't you a wonderful yuppie mother with three kids in a Suburban? And I tell you what I did. I filled her rear view mirror and side mirrors and her back window with the grill of my Horizon. Now, I've got an Itasca Horizon. That's a 12-foot wide grill, 45,000 pounds.
You tailgated her.
Huh?
You tailgated her.
Yes, sir. That's what I did.
You got up right behind her.
Yes, sir, I did. Because that's what you do with these people who think the far left-hand lane is a cruising lane. I can tell you that I can get my Itasca right up... pretty close.
So you tailgated a woman with three children in the car. To what point were you trying to make? Look,
Well, the point was...
I understand about people in the far left lane. They're slow-ass. They don't understand it. They stay there because they want to irritate everybody else. Probably the people who wind up getting in fights out on the freeway are people who were in the far left lane and someone just couldn't take it any longer. But the fact is that if you got a woman in front of you with three kids... Right.
Well, you gotta listen to what I'm saying, Mr. Henry, because I'm a Korean War veteran, and I fought for this country. I got a Purple Heart, and this woman pulls in front of me.
All right.
Then she tries to German brake me. Now I don't know if you know what the German brake is, but you hit the brake suddenly.
I know what it is.
And you force the person behind you to hit their brake. She did this.
Well, you were tailgating her.
Well, guess what? I didn't hit my brakes. So I hit the back end of this Suburban going 80 miles an hour, and that's when I backed off, and then I watched the fun begin. She started to fishtail, and I could see she was losing it, and she wasn't going to be able to pull it out. And I remember saying to my wife, watch this. And as soon as I said that, she got air, hit the median retaining wall at least 70 miles an hour, and skidded all the way down the wall until the front fender buckled and shredded the front left tire, and the wall took all the paint and trim completely off of this, this yuppie's Suburban. And I swear before God, all I did was reach for another egg salad sandwich that we keep up in the igloo on the dash. And I sit today, Mr. Henry, and tell you that I never looked back.
All right.
But you see, this is what happens if you try to fool around with me in that far left lane.
Well, what you almost did is kill a woman and her children.
Whoa. This woman was in the far left lane, blocking and impeding traffic in a rolling roadblock, and she tried to German brake me? You know, the only thing that I forgot to do as I was going by was to stick my tongue out at those brats.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. That's what you call a dangerous situation in traffic that could get even more out of control.
But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say that I notice you do on your program is you talk out of both sides of your mouth. And
well, how am I doing that?
Well, I'd expect that you would support what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying about the far left lane. Nothing makes me crazier, and nothing makes most people crazier, than the dumbass that sits in the far left lane doing 55 miles an hour. He's breaking the law. He doesn't know that he's breaking the law. He thinks that he's within the law. And the problem is the cops don't ticket those guys. If the cops would go out and ticket those people in the far left lane who are cruising in that lane, we wouldn't have to have these problems. But what you did is you hit her at 80 miles an hour and sent that woman careening down the median.
You know something, Phil? Everything I did was well within the law. She hit her brakes.
Well, I don't know, man. The insurance company may say something different. You hit her from behind, and they may say that that's your fault.
Well, she was... No, sir, no. She was not doing the speed limit in the far left lane. And as a result, I am within my rights to tailgate her and to encourage her to move along. And
I don't think you're within your rights to tailgate her.
You know something? Are you a police officer?
No, I'm not.
Well, then, would you mind if I...
Well, I don't think you're within your rights to tailgate. That's all I'm saying.
excuse me, sir, but I think I'm within my rights to encourage the woman to move over, and that's what I did.
Well, you said you were tailgating this woman so closely that her rearview mirror filled up with the grill of your horizon, correct?
That is correct.
Then she German braked you, but you didn't brake.
No, I had no intention of braking. So if she broke, which she did, I'd run right into her.
And you ran into her at 80 miles an hour, and you sent this woman careening down the median.
Yes, I did.
Now, you recounted the story as if you were enjoying it. You were saying how she got air, how the front tire was shredded by the buckling fender. You're looking at...
Well, yeah, and I could see the faces of these children who one moment before had been sticking their tongue out at me, and now the blood was drained from their faces, and nothing but the cold fear.
You're going up to see your grandson, and you'll get the faces of three children who have... the blood is drained out of their faces as their mother has lost control of her Suburban at 70 miles an hour.
Mr. Hendry.
As their mother has lost control of the Suburban at 70 miles an hour, you're looking at the faces of these children.
Mr. Hendry, the far left lane, according to the United States Vehicle Code on the interstates and most state vehicular code, calls for it to be a cruising lane, a passing lane, not a cruising lane. And
But when you take the law into your own hand, why don't you just go around her?
I'm not going to go around her because the law says I can go around her in the left lane. She's got to go around me. She's got to get out of my way. And, Mr. Hendry, I will tell you this. As long as people leave their far left lane as a lane for cruising and not passing, then I am going to be aggressive in the way that I pursue it. And I can tell you there is a man... who doesn't have a Harley Davidson today because of a friend of mine, George Jeffries. This guy wouldn't get out of the way. And Jeffries, as soon as he did move, Jeffries nudged him and sent him sliding across five lanes of traffic.
Is he alive?
I have no knowledge of that.
And you don't even know if that woman's alive that you hit from behind.
Oh, she's fine. I saw the car. No. Now, one of these kids made these Mickey Mouse ears at me as he stuck out his tongue. You know the Mickey, the mouse Mickey, and he.
Yeah, I understand. So what did he do? He did the.
Yeah, he put his thumbs in the ear and he did a mouse head, and then he went, Mister, nothing pisses me off.
All right, let's watch your language. Okay.
Well, all right, but nothing makes me angrier than a kid doing the Mickey, the Mouse ears, and the tongue going out. God Almighty, and that's what I said. And I said to my wife, if she hits the brakes on me, I hold on.
And your wife's with you.
And your wife's with you. Well, I don't understand.
The point being that you're endangering the life not only of that woman and those children, but of your wife. Look, I don't like those guys in the left lane cruising along at 50, 55. Most of them are doing it to piss the people off behind them. And in this day and age where you have psychos out there with guns, you know, you don't want to piss off too many people. You don't know who you're going to be pissing off. I don't like them, but to come up and ram someone from behind who is driving in the left lane at 55, which is what this man did. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This guy rammed a Suburban from behind, which contained a woman and her three children, as she was sailing along in the fast lane, but not yielding, not getting out of his way. So he hit her from behind, sent her spinning down the median. She fishtailed down the median, all of the paint taken off the left side of her door. The front fender buckles and shreds the front left tire. And three children, as he said, had the blood drained from their heads in stark fear. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And I am back.
All right, I'm back with, what is your name, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Lloyd Bonafide, Phil. I'm from Alhambra, California.
All right, sir. And you're a Korean War veteran?
Yes, sir. I was with the United States Navy at Chosin Reservoir, Korea.
And you have a Purple Heart?
Yes, I do.
All right, sir. I respect your devotion and your contribution to our country.
Thank you.
But I also understand that people who drive in the far left lane should observe the law, which it is a passing lane only. It's not a cruising lane, and that they are some of them holding up traffic. You rammed a woman from behind at 80 miles an hour, sending her fishtailing down a freeway median, and you recounted the front fender buckling, the tires shredding, the children looking on in stark fear. She had three children in the car. With some glee, didn't you?
I recounted the story as it occurred, sir. And
well, you said to your wife, watch this.
I simply saw her car go out of control, and I knew what was going to happen. She got air. She
was airborne.
Yes, sir.
All right, so here's a woman in a Suburban with her three kids, and her crime was cruising in what was a passing lane, and you got her car airborne, shredding the whole left side of the car.
Hey, you know something, Phil? We used to say in the Navy, you know something? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. And we have a 200 member caravan club.
All right, hold on. I want to get to some phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686. This is a police officer here, Glenn. Glenn, go ahead.
Phil. I'm sitting here driving down the freeway, and while I can certainly understand his frustration, and he is correct,
thank you,
if you're in the left lane, you're not actively passing somebody, then you are technically breaking a law.
Thank you very much.
However, the fact that this other person, this lady, was breaking the law does not relieve you of your obligation to obey the law. When you tailgated this lady, you were breaking the law. Don't tell me that that's your right to do it. It's completely incorrect, sir. When you rear-ended her, at the very, very least, the act of tailgating her and rear-ending her was reckless driving, at the least. I'm not a district attorney. I wouldn't decide what you were charged with.
But, sir,
but I would say that it would be also vehicular assault, attempted murder. If somebody did die, it would, in fact, be second-degree murder.
Well, you, sir, are a criminal. Hold your horses there, son, because I fought for this country in Korea.
You know,
sir,
I'm proud of you for that,
yeah.
But it really doesn't, it's not germane to the situation at all.
Let me tell you something. She German braked me on purpose. So she got what she wanted, and
but you knew she was going to do that, and you stayed on the tail of this woman's car and hit her with the full force of your car, knowing she was going to break.
Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. And you two guys, you know, you make me laugh, you guys. I was fighting, making you laugh
when I slapped the cuffs on you and put you in jail, sir.
Let me tell you something.
No matter what she was doing in the left lane, you still have an obligation to follow at a legal and appropriate distance.
You know what
you were doing was breaking the law.
I'll tell you what, if I had a vertical ramming bumper like you guys have, I would have sent her over to me. And I wanted to ask you something, in all seriousness. Where do you get those vertical ramming bumpers?
I'd hate to tell you, because in your hands, it would be a lethal weapon.
These are on police cars.
Well, you two guys, I was fighting Chinese before you two were even thought about. So don't start telling me about...
Okay, look, sir, we have honored your contribution to our country, and using the veteran status to somehow support you breaking the law is wrong. You make veterans look bad.
Exactly. My father is also a Vietnam veteran, and I tell you what, he would be disgusted by your actions.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Elliot Ness.
Have a little respect for this man. He's a police officer. He's protecting your life.
Hey, pal, I protect my own life. And
by the way, if that was my wife and kids in that car, I'd hunt you down.
Oh, so you'd break the law.
Well, I'll get this cop to help me. What do you think about that?
Now he's a cop. He's not a police officer.
Look, pal, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, okay, you know something, Glenn or whatever, who's the policeman, Glenn?
That's me.
Why don't you guys get out there in the far left lane and start ticketing some of these turkeys so that I can get my, and I'm going up to see my grandson.
Do you realize, sir, that if the woman is listening to this that you hit, you could be arrested?
Well, you know something? I'm 69 years of age, and I'll tell you this much. I don't give a sweet Jesus.
All right, Glenn, thanks for your call.
No problem.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Michael. Go ahead.
Yes, I would just like to tell this gentleman that I don't know what he has in his mind, but that every interstate in this country has a minimum speed limit on it. And yes, it upsets me when slow people get in the highway and drive on in the fast lane.
What you say?
I'm out here on the highway right now. I've been on the highway since 7 o'clock this morning, driving from Wichita, Kansas to Memphis, Tennessee. But what you did, sir, was wrong. She has a right to drive in that lane within the minimum speed limit highway is on.
No, she
and
doesn't. I just talked to a cop, and he said you're wrong, so you're wrong.
Sir,
the cop
sir,
I just talked to said...
You can't even talk to somebody without interrupting them.
Well, you're
you
wrong,
know,
buddy.
I am a veteran of the United States
I'm
military.
I'm a veteran
also.
Of the United States
I served
Navy.
In the military.
Well, I served in
a war.
I'm a combat veteran, my friend. And another
and
thing.
You disgrace the term.
You don't even know what the law is. You're not supposed to be in that. And the best part was she had a Garfield doll hanging
you most evidently
case.
Don't know what the law is either,
my
sir. Because you
sir.
Think you can push people out like the road whenever you
sir.
Want.
All right, gentlemen, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
I'm back with the gentleman, Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
All right. You were telling me about an incident out in Temecula.
We have a Tasker Horizon, and it's a beautiful unit. Now, this is our caravan. Now, this turkey out in Temecula gets on the freeway. He immediately cuts in front of me in the fast lane, and he won't. Now, here's what you do sometimes is you pull around him, and you gradually, what I call, cut off his wind. And that is you drift in on him so that he gets, a little nervous. And I turned the wheel and then turned back. Now, that's when he did a little fishtail, but nothing serious.
When you make a man fishtail like that, when you make somebody, lose control...
Oh, please don't give me a lecture, Mr. Henry. He was fine.
But how do you know he's going to be fine? You turned into him just enough to scare him so that he lost control of his car momentarily. You don't know if he's going to regain control.
Mr. Henry, I was fighting the Chinese when you were a stain on a...
And the class you have is just amazing. You were fighting the Chinese when I was a stain on a what?
You know something, mister? I was fighting the communist Chinese when you were a bad idea. And I'll tell you, and you and that cop that I talked to, you guys should spend less time telling me what to do and a little more time learning how to change your own underwear.
Well, I've known how to change my own underwear, sir, for a long, long time. Here is Ellen on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Ellen.
Hello,
yes.
Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just appalled. How can we get this idiot off the road? I mean, he is so dangerous.
An idiot?
Yes, you are. You are a dangerous criminal. You're not
I'm
even a member
of
idiot.
The 200-member caravan club of Greater
it
South
doesn't,
California.
That doesn't impress me at all. Those kids in the car, did you not even think how you endanger them?
Okay,
were they responsible for what their mother did?
That's a good point.
Well, hold on for a minute, though. Maybe you didn't hear me. They stuck their tongue out at me.
Oh, so what? They're kids. They're kids. Did you never did anything like that?
Ma'am, first of all, the woman had the gall to have one of those Garfield dolls suctioned onto the back window. That pisses me off, number one. Number two, the kids stuck their tongue out and made the Mighty Mouse ear flap. And
what is Mighty Mouse?
You know the Mickey.
You mean the Mickey Mouse ears?
Yeah, they did mouse ears.
Well,
okay.
I don't care what they did. You have no right to put somebody in danger and to put more people in danger because if that woman had fishtailed into some some other car who didn't do anything to hurt you, there could have been a big pileup of cars and a lot of dead people. I think you are a dangerous criminal, and you should be taken off the road. And I don't care whether you have fought in Vietnam or where.
Ma'am, I was in Korea when we...
Korea,
and the Korean,
that does not give you the right to put other people in danger.
You know, dear, the Korean vets didn't come home crying about the war like the Vietnam vets did. So don't be, doing all that.
Vietnam veterans are also worthy of our respect.
And were you liberated from a concentration camp?
No, I'm not.
All right, because a lot of our boys did that too, you know.
Well, what has that got to do with anything?
That has nothing to do with what you did.
And let me tell you this. She had a bumper sticker that said, my kid is an honor student at such and such elementary school, and I thought I was going to tear my eyes out of my skull when I saw that. There's nothing worse than that. Nothing.
What? She's proud of her kid?
It's the arrogance of these people, and then they get into the fast lane and slow down with the Minnie Mouse ears and the tongues hanging out.
Well, what I have heard is that they were doing 70 miles an hour. Now, I'm from Oregon, and we could only drive 65, and I must tell you that sometimes I do 70, but that is not slowing down in the fast lane.
Okay. Hey, look, last week I took the caravan up to get a lube and oil for our next trip, and now a school bus pulls in front of me to turn left, and the next thing I saw was that same bus aimed the opposite way, okay?
You saw what?
Okay, nothing. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
I've got a couple points to make. One, your service to our country has nothing to do with this. My dad served in World War II.
What'd you say?
Your service has nothing to do with this status.
I fought the Chinese.
That makes no difference. Do you think the people in your 200 caravan club are proud of you?
Well, I'll tell you this much. They have to deal with the same problem, and I think they admire the fact that I finally go ahead and do something about it instead of having to, sit there behind
a... I want to ask a question, if I could. What's a 45,000-pound RV doing going 80 miles an hour down the fast lane? What is it? What's your 45,000-pound RV doing going 80 miles an hour over the left-hand lane?
You know something? That's my business.
Well, I don't think it's very safe. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't care what you think.
I don't think it's safe to have a vehicle that size sailing down the fast lane, man.
Well, did you say you were on your way down to see your grandson?
I'm going up to Portland, Oregon to see my grandson, yes, sir.
Okay, now, do you have a son or a daughter that I assume...
My daughter lives there with her husband, yes, of course.
What if your daughter was in that vehicle?
My daughter knows enough to stay out of the fast lane and not piss off, the people in the... And my grandson would never give the Mickey ears to a man... It was a veteran.
I find it very interesting that you fought all these Chinese and communists, but you are scared of Garfield and somebody giving you Mickey ears and sticking their tongue in at you.
No, sir. No, I never said scared, did I?
Yeah, well, it sounds like you are.
Who's this?
This is Mr. Hendry. It sounds like you are.
Hey, let me tell both of you something. I was at Chosin Reservoir when we pulled the Marines out of there, so don't start telling me about being scared.
Well, you're talking about Garfield the cat and some kid sticking out his tongue.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of him.
Hey, are you proud of your daughter and your grandson?
Let me finish my point there.
Proud of your daughter and grandson? Because apparently this lady was proud of her son because she had something on some bumper sticker, and it's not arrogance. It's just being very proud of your kid doing well at school.
Let me tell you something, Jay. They love to put the bumper sticker on there to piss off the people. That's why they do it.
Well, you know what? They apparently did a very good job of it with you.
Well, it's okay. So I'm going to let them know. No, they try to irritate you with that.
It sounds to me like you're afraid of the kid who's got the honor student thing going and the Garfield.
Look, my grandson would never have been disappointed. My grandson would have been very disappointed if Lois and I didn't make it in time for the Roxo the Clown at his party. And we also are really trying to get a thing.
I didn't hear him. Thank you, Jay. Thank you for
your call. Well, let me just make one more point. He fought for our freedom. You fought for our freedom. Well, I'll tell you what. You fought for the freedom for the people to actually put that bumper sticker on their car.
Well, you're GD right about...
Well, I'll let you all go.
All right, Jay. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you understand when I say to you, sir, that we honor you, but you are driving unsafely?
Look, you don't understand that there are people...
I can't hear you.
Huh?
I can't hear you, sir. Get the phone closer.
I'm sorry.
Don't call him.
That's too close, okay? What I'm trying to do is...
Mr. Henry, I've been a Korean War veteran since 19...
I can't hear you, sir.
Is this better?
It's a little bit better. Yeah, could you get closer?
I said I've been a Korean War veteran...
Everybody loves me.
All right, pal.
What'd you say?
It's okay, man. It's okay.
So you were giving me permission to wear in some...
No, I didn't give you any permission. It's fine. God bless you, and Godspeed. You got to be careful out there.
I'm always careful. I love my grandson very much, and...
Get closer to the phone.
Oh, hi, Taylor.
You know what? I can't dig it. It's just... 1-800-449...
Toot toot, Mr. Henry!
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley were on the show recently talking about the internet and bar rooms, and if that's where you meet your spouse, in a bar or on the internet, you're desperate. You're a bottom feeder. We had a caller say Bobby is nuts and arrogant.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm wondering why somebody with your arrogance and ignorance is being allowed to air this on radio.
Well, I'm simply trying to save other people a lot of...
You know,
what's your
with
screen name?
A judge, you might not know where that judge... You don't know how many judges have met their spouses on the internet.
I can assure you the National Association of Planned Communities, I think these are very successful people. They are college professors, they are lawyers. They meet... We generally meet each other in skydiving classes or wind sailing and that kind of thing.
Well, that's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. And my husband's a CPA, and I make as much money as he does
Can I ask you a question? And I'd love it if you could be honest with me. Are you heavy?
Am I heavy?
Yeah, darling.
I probably need to lose a few pounds.
Well, when you say few, are we talking double digits?
When I met him, I had met a Harvard lawyer who had asked me out in person, so I apparently wasn't too unattractive.
What is your screen name, dear?
National radio.
It's not desperate for someone at AOL.com, is it? I mean, the point is...
Well, what are you doing, Bobby? I mean, you're insulting this lady for no reason, in my opinion.
You're insulting a lot of people, and you're very arrogant, and you have no clue. If you haven't done it, you don't know.
I didn't do it, Glenda, because I didn't have to do it, and I think that's the big difference.
I didn't have to do it.
You just told me you're very heavy.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. You said
I did not tell you I'm very heavy. 20 pounds is not, in my opinion, very heavy. And I also told you
what do you think a normal weight is? 180?
I know an attorney who graduated from Harvard who had asked me out in person, so apparently I'm not too unattractive.
Well,
but let me tell
Glenda,
you something.
If these judges
the
find
minutes,
out about the bells and the oldest bottom feeding
the few minutes that you have been on the radio, you are so unattractive, and I can't even see you. But you're the one of the ugliest persons I have ever heard.
I think that's what these people talk about, Phil. They, everything is very vibe-oriented and
everything with you is status.
Glenda,
it's nothing to do with how my husband's one of the most kind people you've ever met in your life.
When you
he's
say
kind,
that, in other words,
decent,
he has a big nose.
He's wonderful. No, he's handsome.
In other words, he has a pox-scarred face.
Oh, please.
No.
Pox-scarred face?
Phil, when one of these bottom feeders...
And don't talk about them as bottom feeders, if you don't mind. Let's just have...
All right, when one of these people who troll on the internet say that their husband's handsome, that means he has a handsome face and one leg is shorter than the other.
No, that is not true.
So he doesn't
you know,
with
I really you know, hate to disappoint you.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
Apparently you do need someone to educate you, and I am the one who can do that.
Well,
and you are so wrong.
Here's what I wanted to say.
It's pathetic.
Now, these couples that met on the internet and in a bar, you don't want them to run into these judges from the National Association lest you don't get Planned Community of the Year, correct?
That is correct.
What do you want them to do, stay inside their houses?
What we've asked them to do is to move into some trailers that we have behind the community. Until such time,
I just cannot fathom this. I just think it's necessary. I just cannot believe this.
No, why?
I can't continue to listen to this. And I feel sorry
move
for the nation.
Into, move into trailers? Move into trailers how?
We have asked the Bells and Olanders to move into two trailers that we have in a vacant lot until the judges leave.
Who are these judges?
They're the judges for the National Association of Planned
Communities. And who are they?
Oh, one of them is Sherry Brookmeyer. She's a very, very prominent attorney in Denver, Colorado. She also owns a 10,000 square foot home at Ranch of the East, which is a very, very prestigious gated community. We also have Bill Winningham. Bill is an award-winning architect. He lives at Romero Creek, which is an upscale community in, I believe it's in Chicago. We have.
All right, okay, so we know who these guys are. How many of them are there?
There are 12. Bill
now, what do you know about their background?
Sherry,
do you know where all of them met their spouses?
Yeah, Bill met his wife mountain climbing in Africa, and Sherry met her husband at a dance contest on a Norwegian cruise line. So you can see they're very outgoing people. They're not sitting and drinking a Yoo-Hoo or something and looking at a computer
screen. When we built our house
screen.
In our neighborhood, in the new neighborhood, I'm the one who formed the social groups around here. I am the most social person you've probably ever met.
Well, I think that's wonderful, Glenda, but I'm talking about mountain climbing, not bridge. Glenda, if you are social, you'll understand this. I am not going to lose to Willow Estates in Phoenix because of these sad, sad couples.
You and I define social as two different things, because I'm an outgoing person. I like people. You're a social climber.
God.
There's a difference.
No, no, I'm not a social climber.
Oh, yes, you are.
Well,
or you're hanging on to the ladder.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, that's a pathetic group there. That's Bobby and Steve from the Western States Homeowners Association. It's Phil Hendry Show. The United States hasn't found any weapons of mass destruction. Everybody is going nuts. Everyone is saying it's a lie. Everyone is saying they've been scammed. Everyone is saying that it's just wrong and we should have never gone to war in Iraq. Now, the problem is, though, had we found weapons of mass destruction, everyone would be saying that they were planted. That they were planted by the United States, that it was a conspiracy, so on and so forth. So, which is it? I thought this is the government that was able to fake the moon landing and say that the, you know, weren't we the ones that faked the moon landing and the Jews were in cahoots at 9/11 and the CIA killed John Kennedy and, you know, there's a whole conspiracy regarding the CIA and cocaine in Central America and, you know, I mean, and we'd reached a secret settlement with Saddam, so that's why we didn't attack the oil fields in the Gulf War. How come we can't come up with a few phony secret weapons of mass destruction? Kind of just blows that whole theory to pieces, doesn't it? Kind of just makes all of those conspiracy theorists just look even dumber than they are. Oh, well, all we got to do is come up with some phony weapons of mass destruction. Are you telling me that we don't do that because then it would look like that we did that, and we don't want it to make it look like that we did that, even though we can do it? Is that it? You see how crazy this whole process is? Hey, I got big news for you. Clinton bombed Iraq back in 98, man. Nobody asked him for proof. Nobody asked him for proof. He dropped some bombs in 98 because he wanted to get rid of, or at least begin to affect the early stages of the nuclear program. Nobody asked that guy for any proof. He just went ahead and dropped the bombs. When is it a war, by the way? When you drop two bombs, it's not a war, but when you put a bunch of tanks, then it's a war? I don't understand. Like when we attacked Libya, was that a war? Or is that just a limited, you know, engagement? Or what is that? And what, how does it all come down in terms of the law? The president is allowed a certain latitude in military activity, but if at a certain point where he has to consult with the Congress, and if he came up with the wrong information, hey, he came up with the wrong information. Life is not exactly perfect. I can't believe that this guy Hussein He's better than I thought he was. He's slick, baby. He's got everybody crying big crocodile tears for him. They want him back in power so bad. What an unjust and unfair thing to remove this man. I have never seen a guy who fed people into meat grinders be treated like Santa Claus before this guy came along. You'd think that this guy was Mickey Mantle. You'd think he was Joe DiMaggio. He's just beloved of everybody, and the big, bad, horrible, rotten American government and all of the people took him out of power, and now he's like, well, what, has he got to live in a hotel in Syria on the Mediterranean coast? Oh, God, not that. What are you guys nuts? You are?
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.